This is a BBV production. Probe, The New Companions, Maxi Masters, read by Bill Baggs. Giles here. My diary entries seem to have taken an internal twist of late. As I sit at the keyboard, my fingers are itching to type some of the stories about the Probe team, recently expanded. They're an eclectic bunch, to say the least. And most of the time, they do get on. Calmest of the bunch is Maxiasa Masters. You're used to me telling you stories by now, so I'll waste no time and get on with it. In her own words. The day after my meeting with Sir Andrew, I woke up in an unfamiliar bed. Even though my mattress was lumpy, I slept. Whilst everything was still unfamiliar, life here certainly wasn't unpleasant. Giles had seen to that. Thank goodness for Giles. I had dreamt of my homeworld, a different world, Gendar, but each time the dreams were less vivid than the previous night, and that was the pattern. I was becoming, what, I wondered, more human? I hope not, as most of them were annoying. In my room, the sun was shining in through the window, and the patterned material draped over the window, curtain, yes, curtain, that's what Giles called it, created a calming, flickering effect on the walls. A silent show. A show just for me. Its simplicity amused me. The room was not without facilities. It had a machine for boiling water and a sink. Elsewhere, there was access to a space to prepare food and somewhere else to wash and clean. There were other rooms off a long corridor, and whilst I had not encountered any other people, I suppose it would be females if there was anyone, I was sure that plenty of others could live here too. I wondered whether any creature from another world had stayed here, or was I the first? Had Giles ever encountered other aliens? I suspected he had, especially given the way he treated me, had accepted me. In this home, my new existence was taking shape, and I was glad to be in my own space. Life was always much easier for me when I didn't have to deal with anyone else. Showered, dressed, and fed. I'd become accustomed to toast with jam, even though I often burnt the bread. Whilst munching on my toast, I enjoyed watching the birds in the trees outside. They danced around so sweetly, making life appear so simple. Catching sight of myself in the mirror, I realised my purple hair needed changing. And I found some dark sunglasses too, very helpful to avoid questions about my unusual eye colouring. Giles collected me at 8. He smiled at my new appearance, but said nothing. Well, that worked for me. I enjoyed the ride into central London. The hustle and bustle, lots of people, cars, buildings, with bits of nature dotted around in between. All these things. I was rapidly becoming familiar with my environment. Apart from the fighting, I was naively convincing myself it wasn't so different from life on Gendar. This is where you'll be based, Giles said as he opened the door to a small side office. We'd navigated security at the front of the building, and my boss was showing me where I would work from now on. Exciting, I think. I'll introduce you to the team later as we're right in the middle of a case. A complicated... Anything I can assist you with? I interrupted, eager to be of use. Giles! Came a female voice calling for the boss's attention. Giles' focus shifted to the matter at hand and left me with a, "Don't worry, we'll catch up later." In the larger office beyond, everyone was fussing. It looked like something had happened and Giles had to leave me to settle in on my own. Through my office window, I saw him rush off and talk to other members of the team I have yet to meet. He's a bright man and kind. I'm very fond of him. He makes me smile. Thoughts turned to what they might be up to. I was beginning to realise I didn't like being left on the sidelines. There I was, sat at my computer, fully intending to get stuck in, a Giles phrase. I allowed my shades to slide down my nose, to hide away from everyone. Not that they were paying me much attention anyway. For a moment, I froze. Images of the war I had fled flashed in my mind as I was instantly transported from London to the battle zone on Gendar I had fled. I was powerless to do anything. Somehow, well, I knew it would pass. But at these times of intensity, I just had to endure the process. My heart was pumping. My muscles twitched and sweat formed on my skin. Breathe, breathe, came a voice from within. Breathe. I gathered myself and a thought came into my mind. I had survived. 2 hours later, I had navigated my way round the probe internal case file system and absorbed information on a range of the team's investigations. I was beginning to discover more clearly just what I had signed up for. Looking at the detail, I also realised that far from being a hindrance, how much of an asset I could be. That brought a smile to my face. Well, I hated being a liability. Always do your best, I remember my mother saying back on Gendar. And that was instilled in me from the age of 3. It was very easy for me to drift back to my childhood. Life was fun growing up. My parents were always firm, but fair. I was an only child, but despite that, they never spoiled me. They were simple, moral, intelligent people. They didn't plan on having kids. Gendar was overpopulated enough, they thought, and then I arrived. And finding food for another mouth could be a challenge. But nevertheless, when I appeared, they were over the moon. It was a bit weird being the only kid of elderly parents. It meant I didn't quite fit in at school, but I adapted. Most kids do. And I got used to looking after myself. Adapted to being a loner. Oh, it made me who I am, for better or for worse. Back in my office, I had accessed the files to the probe team's current case and absorbed the details quickly. To my surprise, it had all my investigative juices flowing. Someone, or should I say something, had hijacked Secret Service's computer network and were holding that team to ransom. Malware. Right up my alley. I giggled to myself as I repeated a phrase I had heard on the radio. It seemed entirely appropriate to the situation. Giles and his team had gone to a location to meet the perpetrators. Some aliens looking for asylum, I presumed, and to try and negotiate. I'm guessing Giles had given up any hope of removing the malware and had opted for a face-to-face. How he'd located them, goodness only knows. With the issue laid out in front of me, my brain went into overdrive. Could I unlock the malware and tip the balance in Giles's favour? Before I had a chance to make the mental decision, my fingers had decided for themselves, tapping away at my keyboard, entering all sorts of code. And yes, I had found a way round the malware and could probably develop some code of my own to oust it and protect Secret Services in the future. I decided to phone Giles and tell him. I sat and listened to the phone ringing for what seemed like an age. I was probably the last person Giles was expecting to get a call from. Eventually, he picked up. Hi, Maxie. Well, I can't really talk right now. He wasted no time delicately putting me in my place. Giles, I politely but firmly cut him off. Wasting no time myself, I explained I had found a way round the malware and could easily render it harmless. It took him a few moments to process this, and at first he doubted that I had the skills. I've sent you a file. Take a look. You'll see what I've done. He hung up and moments later phoned me back. Am I dreaming? Have you really found a way of unlocking the malware? I think I have, I replied, trying not to sound too clever. I don't believe it. Well, of course, things worked out well for the case. As soon as Giles had verified my work, it changed the direction of the negotiations. Giles had not been too harsh on the alien immigrants, especially after I reminded him that I had come to Earth on essentially the same ticket. Later, Giles took me to a swanky restaurant in London. Sitting there at our table for two, enjoying a fish salad, beats jam toast, that's for sure, he was doing his best to make me part of the team. I could tell he was protecting me. I appreciated that. And I made it clear that I was under no illusions that future cases would not be so straightforward. He smiled. I have high hopes for you, Maxie. High hopes. Naturally, I blushed.